not just waiting until we get to heaven to win, because that's going to be a big win. All right, that's going to be the capital W of all of them when we stand before Him in person. But the reality is the Scripture says we overcome the world now as we believe what God has promised. Jesus intends for us to have life and to enjoy life. It means that all things work together for good for us, because we are what the Bible says, them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. It works out. Eventually, it works out to our benefit. It works out in our favor because we have Him and it's His purpose. He came that we might have and enjoy our life. It works out because we spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. It works out because we're the ones that are led by the Spirit of God, because we're the sons of God. That's what the Bible says. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. We're led, the Bible says, we are in a parade of triumph in Christ Jesus. We win because of who He is. Even when we make mistakes, we're conscious of the redemptive work that took place in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that our lives are not made so that we have to live flawlessly, but that His blood has provided for us the total redemption of every mistake we will ever make. Oh, I like that. That means I can live my life by faith, expecting Him, expecting His blood to take care of every sin that I've ever committed, past, present, and future. It's already done. The Bible says He gave His blood one time for all time. That means every sin that I've ever committed and ever will commit has already been covered by the blood of God, blood of Jesus. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, "Trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." How many things? All things. Now, when you look these words up in the Greek, it literally says all things to enjoy. It doesn't say all spiritual things here. It literally says that if we trust in Him, He gives us richly. And the word richly here means wealth, abundance. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. God is not opposed to you having anything. He is opposed to a thing having you. He wants your life to be blessed. He wants you to enjoy your life. He anticipates us having a life that is enjoyed. The word enjoy means to have full enjoyment. The Bible says in Psalm 35:27, "Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of His servant." The word prosperity there in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word shalom, which means nothing missing, nothing broken. The Lord takes pleasure in your having nothing missing, nothing broken in your life. In fact, in Psalm 103, it says that the angels do all His pleasure. I like that. So if I am living with Him and I'm walking with Him and my life is consumed with Him, then angels are dispatched so that my prosperity, which is His pleasure, is fulfilled in my life. Isn't that wonderful? God wants you to do good. He wants you to be blessed. Here's the truth. God loves you and wants to do good things to you and for you. Say that out loud. God loves me. Come on, say it even louder than that. God loves me. See, it's easy to think that He loves everybody else because you don't know everybody else's flaws, but you know your own, and it's hard to think that God could love me when He knows all the dumb stuff I've done. But He does. He loves me. And because He loves me, He wants to do good things to me. He wants to do good things for me and do good things through me. I'll tell you, the fact is, I know my children probably better than most people do. And I know they've made some mistakes. And I know they've messed some things up. And there have been times in their lives, you know, when I wanted to just pinch their little heads off. But I love them. And I will do anything that I can to see to it that they succeed. I mean, I will do anything that I know that I'm able to do to make sure they reach their destiny in life, because I love them. Now, if I feel like pinching their heads off, God doesn't ever get to that point with me. He loves me, and He will do everything possible to get me to the place that I will fulfill His call. See, God is the blesser. He's not the curser. He wants to bless you. We read throughout the Bible that it's always been God's intent to bless His covenant partners. The curse came on God's partners when God's partners exited the covenant, when they chose to disobey, when they chose to disregard what He wanted them to do. God is good. The Bible says in James 1:17, it says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift, every perfect gift, all that comes down from the Father of lights, and it says there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. In other words, God isn't going to change that now. He's still going to give good gifts, perfect gifts. There's no shadow of turning with God. God loves you and God loves me. He wants to do good things for us. We need to learn how to live life in the way that Jesus intends for us to live. Jesus said in John 17, He said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Message says, they are no more defined by the world than I am defined by the world. We're not of the world. We are of the kingdom of God. We're not defined by their system. God is good. We do not have to live like the world. We don't have to have their results. Though we may have to go through some of their storms, we get totally different results. The Scripture is clear that we may have to go through the storm, but we get to the other side of the storm, to the place that Jesus called us to go to. There may be challenges, but God intends for us to get there. Not because we've done something to deserve His goodness or are entitled to it, but because He loves us. And His grace comes to us as we simply believe what He's promised us. Isn't that good news? God loves you. God loves me. See, while the world is going to their stuff that's related to the curse, the Scripture is clear that when we trust in the arm of flesh or trust in the arm of man, there's a curse attached to that. If we trust the government, if we trust any human organism or organization, there we go, and that's where our trust is, that brings a curse. Can't trust my job. Can't even trust my boss. Now, I can trust him, don't get me wrong, but my final trust, my ultimate trust is in the source of all good, and that's my Father. And the Bible says there's a blessing attached to that. I want to be attached to Him because that's the source of blessing. That's the source of His goodness coming into my life. God is good. I mean, He is the blesser. He wants to bring good things and blessing into my life. Their system, out there, their system is cursed without God. I'll tell you, the economy is bad. I mean, theirs is, ours isn't, is it? We don't live in their economy. We live in a different kind of economy. They're still talking about, now they're talking about a double dip recession. You know what a double dip recession is? That's a depression, just so you'll know. They can flower it up. Their economy is not doing well. But it's not my economy. The Bible says we're in a different kingdom. I mean, their economy is so bad out there that Exxon, they laid off 4 congressmen this last week. Some of you got that, some of you didn't. Their economy, I mean, they're having some hard times in their economy. In fact, I heard that Angelina Jolie was thinking of adopting a child from America. It's so bad. I'm talking about current events, so just in case you know. Someone said the economy is so bad a picture is only worth 200 words now. It's not worth the same as it was. They're talking about renaming Wall Street to Walmart Street, just to get things caught up. I heard about a guy that he was so distraught about the economy and how things were going, he decided he was going to commit suicide, and so he called the suicide prevention, number, and well, the economy is so bad that they've outsourced that to Pakistan. And so he got on the phone and he told me he was going to commit. He was thinking about committing suicide. They all got excited and asked if he could drive a truck. We don't live in their economy. We don't have to have a fatalistic view of the way things are. We live in a different system. When we know Jesus, when Jesus is our source and He is everything to us, we can walk by faith in Him, receiving from His love, His grace, His goodness into our lives. We can have what He wants us to have. Let's turn to John chapter 1 again. We've been looking at these verses to kind of springboard from for several weeks now. John chapter 1, we're going to look down in verse 16. We're going to read this from the King James and then from the Amplified Bible, especially verse 16. Jesus has just told us that He's full of grace and truth. Oh, and I got a spider up here. Sorry, buddy. That means all the fly, there's a fly that just got free because of that spider. John chapter 1, verse 16, and Jesus said, out of His fullness, we're talking about Jesus, out of Jesus' fullness, we all received, and grace for grace. And the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Let me read it from the Amplified. This is really something. Verse 16 says, for out of His fullness, out of His abundance, we have all received. Now that's all of us. We have all received, past tense, and all had a share, and we were all supplied with. It's already taken place. It's already ours. We're all supplied with one grace after another. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good to me. One grace after another. One grace and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing. Even favor upon favor and gift heaped upon gift. I like that. Heaped upon gift. Not just one gift, but gift heaped upon gift. I mean, when our kids were little at Christmas time, because we have four children and I don't know how we develop all these traditions we have in our family, but Tammy and I always have bought, when their kids were little, we always bought each one of them three presents. We bought them two medium-sized ones and one big one, or however, whatever we decided it was, based on our budget. It didn't matter how much money we had, we bought them three presents. Well, then we got four kids. So each kid bought each kid a present. So now we got four kids times three plus another four kids times three because they each got each other a present. And then Tammy and I bought each other a present. And then they bought us a present with our money. Now, I might need to tell you that. I mean, we'd give them the money. They'd go buy Mom's present. She'd give them the money. They'd go buy Dad's present. And by the time Christmas arrives, and it's still this way at our house, by the time Christmas arrives, it's gift heaped up on gift. I mean, there are just so many presents there. Now, they're not all, you know, super expensive, but they're just all these gifts. Well, His gifts, the ones He heaps up for us, they're expensive ones. They're good ones. And they're gift heaped upon gift. They're not, He goes out and gets the very best. And He gives us gift heaped upon gift. If you can just see Him piling up the gifts on your behalf. Now, the only question is, are you ever going to get to the tree and open them up? Are you ever going to, I don't recall ever having to wake our children up on Christmas morning. Not one time do we say, hey, kids, it's time to get up to open presents. No, it was always the opposite way. It's, hey, Dad, it's time to get up to open presents. In particular, Ryan, he had a built-in clock. We said, you can't get up until 6 o'clock. And I mean, at 5:30, he's pacing the floor, you know, waiting for it to turn 6 so he could say, Dad, it's 6 o'clock, and we get up. Man, they were ready to open them. We need to be like that. There are gifts that are heaped upon gifts that they've already been given. We need to be having that in our lives. The Bible here says that it's talking about layer after layer after layer of grace. Layer after layer after layer of favor. Now, we've been talking about that subject for several weeks. The word grace and the word favor are most of the time in the New Testament the same Greek word, and the word is charis, which means graciousness, kindness, or sweetness. God is sweet. He's kind. The word refers to God's kindness and sweetness when we don't deserve it and aren't able to pay for it. There's no way that we can do enough for God that we deserve His kindness. Because all we deserve is the curse. All we deserve is hell. But Jesus paid a price that we don't have to have that. We've discovered there's more grace available than just the grace to get born again. Just like We receive the grace that will take us to heaven when we die because we believed the gospel that said the blood of Jesus eradicated our sins. And when we believed that, grace came to us. And when the grace came to us, we no longer were destined for hell. We're destined now for heaven when we die. Just like we received that grace when we believed the gospel, more grace is available when we believe the promises. And the Scripture is clear about more grace, about additional grace, about layer after layer of grace. Getting to heaven when you die is just the beginning of the grace God has in store for you. I mean, there's more grace than you've ever even thought of or imagined or dreamed of. Sadly, most Christians have forgotten how they received the grace in the first place. They've forgotten what it's like to be lost. They forgot what it was like when they believed the gospel, and when they believed the gospel, grace came to them and they were born again. Is that right? Isn't that how you got saved? You believed and grace came to you. Grace was poured out on you. See, most Christians have forgotten that, and they're thinking that somehow the rest of the grace of God that needs to come into their life will flow down like some sort of mist that just happens some way. They're thinking it's like a West Texas thunderstorm or scattered thunder showers. If you're lucky enough to be under one, you get rain, but most people don't. And they think God's grace it's just like that. If you're lucky, then God will have grace in your life and you'll escape this, or this good thing will happen to you. If you're lucky, that will happen to you. That's not the way grace works. And Pastor, are you saying that sometimes grace isn't poured out on people who aren't expecting it? Oh, I'm not saying that at all. Because sometimes God is just gracious and merciful and good stuff happens to you. Sometimes you get caught in the wake of somebody else's grace. Somebody flowing in the river of grace passes by you, and the wake of their grace just spills on you, and all of a sudden you got you a miracle or you got something good. And the sad part is many Christians are thinking, well, I did something to get that. No, it was just grace. Here's what we want to learn how to do. We want to learn how to walk in grace to the degree that it's no longer a scattered shower of grace, but that we live in the tropical region where grace comes every day. There's always grace. It's always being poured out on us. It's like this river of grace that we can be in all the time. And there are ways that we can live in the grace. I'm not talking about works here. I'm not talking about me doing something that God owes me something. I'm talking about getting in this flow, free flow of grace. Getting in this, wouldn't that be awesome? To just always be in the free flow of grace? Wouldn't it be awesome that the favor of God was on you to the degree that you're always in the right place at the right time for the right situation and the right opportunity, and it's just there all the time? Wouldn't it be awesome if you're walking along and the grace of God is on you, it's in you, it's gone before you, and things are just working because of the grace of God? I mean, that's the kind of grace we're talking about. See, many people think you got to be luckier. You have to have some kind of happenstance for the grace of God to come. No. We want the grace of God that the Scripture promises. And the Bible tells us this. It's very clear that grace comes to us as we believe Him, just like the day you got saved. Right? You believed. And when you believed, grace came into your life. I'm happy that grace is not just happenstance, that you got to be standing under the right cloud at the right minute to get it. I'm happy that when I on purpose said, Jesus, come into my heart, that I didn't miss the shower of His grace. Because I called for it. I believed the promise. I was able, when I believed the promise, to receive the grace that forgave me of my sins. And yet, the Bible says in Colossians 2:6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. How did you receive Him? You believed the good news, and the grace came into your life. The word received there, by the way, it means to take. As you've taken Christ Jesus the Lord. That's how you receive. Take anything else from Him. It was by grace that it came to you. Woo, man, see, we've seen over the weeks that there's grace for healing. There's grace for deliverance. There's grace for wholeness. There's grace for relationships. There's grace for anything the Bible promises you. If you need healing in your body this morning, what you need is grace. And you don't have to, I'm trying to get healed by faith. That's not grace. Well, Scott was telling me one time, this guy looked at him and said, the reason you have this problem is because of your sin. What? All sickness comes because of sin? That was a dumb statement to make, but not maybe not Scott's sin. He became righteous by the blood of Jesus. And when you become righteous by the blood of Jesus, grace is available to you every single day of your life. I'm going to tell you something. There are going to be some people that make it to heaven that are going to amaze you. Because it wasn't their works that got them there. It wasn't their performance that got them there. There are going to be some people in heaven who made you mad. They're going to be in heaven. They're going to be standing there rejoicing before Jesus. And if you get that attitude of, why are they here? You're going to be in trouble. You've got to go back to remedial Christianity and find out it's by grace you're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not going to get, listen, your works aren't going to heal you. Your works aren't going to save you. Your works aren't going to deliver you. It's going to have to be the grace of God. The grace of God. The grace of God. The grace of God. Ooh, we've read in the Bible, the scripture, over the past several weeks. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace. If you're going to grow in grace, that means if you're growing, there's got to be more grace, right? If you grow in grace, that means the grace you started with is not enough for you to have the rest of, for the whole trip. Grow in grace. The Bible says in James 4:6, but he giveth more grace. More grace. He gives more grace. And we talked about it, it goes to the humble, but more grace. If there's more grace, then that's different than just some grace. If there's more grace, that means there's grace in addition to the grace you got when you got saved. More grace. The Bible says in Acts 4:33, it says, and great grace was upon them all. Great grace. It's great grace that was upon them. If there's great grace, that means there's not great grace. Right? If there's great grace, that means there's also regular grace. Wait a minute then. If there's great grace, could there be greater grace? Could there be greatest grace? See, there are layers of grace. We want to find out in our lives how we can walk and live and move in the grace. These passages we just looked at, they refer to getting a bigger portion of grace. A bigger portion. Think about this passage of Scripture. I know Ryan's going to put it up here. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Look what it says. Jesus is talking. He says this. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you the hardest job you've ever had to do. What? No, that's what it said. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll put a burden so heavy on you for the loss that you won't be able to sleep at night. No, that's not what he said. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll make you work for me day and night till you get sick of going to church. No, he didn't say that. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That sounds good to me. The word rest literally means I'll give you refreshment. I'll give you a refreshing. See, we're praying for revival in the church, right? The word revival talks about refreshing, a time of refreshing. Jesus said if we're heavy laden and we're burdened, if we come to him, he said, I will give you rest. Then he says, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. He said, if you come to me now, if you labor and you're heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Now, when you get here, he said, I want you to learn something from me. What does he want us to learn of him? He said, I am meek and lowly in heart. And what does that mean? He said, I am meek. I want you to learn this about me. He said, I am meek and lowly in heart. What he's saying is, come unto me, and here's what I want you to learn. I have an attitude of gentleness and humility. He said, I have a heart attitude that is gentle. I have a heart attitude that is humble. Doesn't that sound a little bit like gracious and kind? Doesn't that sound like grace? He said, here's what I want you to learn about me. I have grace for you. I have kindness and gentleness for you. Jesus is not calling us so that we can live the rest of our lives condemned about our past or our present or our future. He said, I want you to have refreshing. He said, here's what I want you to learn. I want you to learn of me this attitude. I want you to learn of me that I am meek and lowly, and you can find rest, refreshing to your soul. What's your soul? Well, Gary already told us during the offering. It's your mind, your will, your emotions. If your mind, your will, and your emotions are not resting, what would that be? Stress. Physicians today are telling us that more disease is stress-induced than from any other source. And it's no different among Christians than the non-Christian. People don't know how to rest. They don't know how to come to Him and learn from Him that every good gift, every perfect gift comes from Him, that He will do what He said He will do, and if He will do what He said He will do, I don't have to worry. When people get in stress, their body gets this fight or flight thing going on. You've heard doctors talk about that. And that's this release of all these endorphins and all this adrenaline, all this stuff. And if you don't know what to do with it, what'll happen is you'll just stew in your own juices until your body organs don't know what to do. Cancers and all kinds of maladies come because of stress. I mean, you'll go out and eat a pound of lard if you have to. Well, I'd never do that, Pastor. Well, it just depends. You might have already done it. Depends on what you're eating has been fried in, I'm guessing. Stress. Stress will make you yell at your wife. Stress will make you yell at the kids when they didn't do anything wrong. Stress will make you mad at your boss, make you blow up at work, make you quit, lose your job, and then you don't have an income, and now you got more stress. Jesus said, learn something from me. Learn something from me. I have grace for you. No matter what you're going through, there is grace available to get you through it. Woo. So calm down. Get in the place of rest in your mind, in your will. Oh, the emotions, man. Oh, the emotions. If you live by your emotions, you'll be up one day and down the next. You'll be mad at the same person you're glad with the next 5 minutes. I mean, if you're in your emotions all the time and everything is about how you feel and how you perceive it. It's not about what I perceive. It's about what did the Bible say to me? I believe that. I'm not going to let my emotions act any different than what this says. Pastor, that's easier to say than it is to do. Amen, sister. But it's possible to do. You ever met a Christian who's the same all the time? Because they're not led by their emotions. They learned how to live by faith and learn how to walk with God based on what He said. Jesus said, you know what? If you'll do that, He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. The next time some preacher or good-meaning Christian comes to you and says, oh, it's so hard to serve the Lord, you just say, liar, liar, pants on fire. No, don't say it. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. It is not hard to serve the Lord. If you're living in grace. If you're trying to do it by your own works and by your own flesh, it's hard. because no man, the Bible says, can keep the law. Nobody can fulfill all the requirement of the law. But you and I can fulfill the requirement of grace. You don't even have to be super smart. You just have to be a receiver of the grace of God. Jesus said, my yoke, it's easy. My burden, it's light. You get rest for your soul. Listen how this says in the Message. I think Ryan probably has that to put up there too. It says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? That sounds like many churches I've gone to. That sounds like churches I've been the pastor of. He said, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Listen to me, going to work every day, getting stressed out, coming home in the traffic, being stressed out is not life. It's existence. He said, I'll show you how to take a real rest. Look at this next verse. It says, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. I really like this next phrase. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. He said, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. He said, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. If it's grace, you don't have to force it. How many have been trying to get healed? How many have been trying to feel good about the sin you committed? You can't ever feel good about it. How many are you trying to get over the fact that you had an argument with your spouse? How many are you trying? There's an unforced rhythm of grace. And when you recognize that the blood of Jesus has already paid the price, you don't even have to force it. I'm trying to get my 100-fold return. Try all you want to. Grace is what's going to bring it. I'm trying the tithe. You can't try, you just do it, and then grace does everything else. Unforced rhythms of grace. He says in verse 30, keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Grace. Unforced rhythms of grace. You'll never earn His grace. It's an unforced rhythm. We need to learn that. See, we live by faith. We live on purpose by faith. We pursue the kingdom with violence, the Bible says. But we must posture ourselves to receive the grace that just comes to us by faith. Isn't that something? That old song we've always sang, we've sung all of our lives. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. One verse goes like this. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear? When? The hour I first believed. All you got to do is just be in the place where you just believe God. Yeah, but they're closing the plant next month. I believe God. His grace is on my life. His favor is on my life. He will guide me to the right interview. He will guide me to the right place to put the application. He will guide me to the right person. In fact, His grace is on me. It goes before me. It's made manifest in my life today. I'm going to meet the right person at the right place at the right time. And when I do, the right situation is going to open up in front of me. And I have no fear because I trust in Him. And the Bible declares that when He is my source, that the blessing of God is all over me. And the devil can't break through this shield of faith, this shield of grace that's all around me. The devil can't get in there. Why would I be afraid? What's it? The psalmist said, why should I fear? What can man do to me? See, man can't do anything to you if you're not afraid of him. Grace. It's an unforced rhythm of His grace on your life. Ooh, I like that. See, we can't provide the grace. We can't force the grace. All we can do is walk by faith, trusting in Him, and then His favor comes to us. His favor comes on us. Ooh, I like that. So we've been talking about more grace. We've been talking about getting additional grace. We're not under a contract. We're not saying, okay, God, I'll work X hours if you'll give me this much grace. doesn't happen that way. I like that when I say, God, I just work for you and trust you. And he said, okay, you work for an hour and I'll give you a whole day's wages. That's what I like. Don't you? Am I the only one who likes that? I mean, I want that. I'm not afraid to work. I want to work as much as I need to work, but I want his grace to be on my work. I want the favor of God to be there. I just want his purpose to be made manifest. We want another layer of grace. We want to position ourselves where we can just receive more and more grace, because the more grace I receive in my life, the more glory I give to his name. By the way, if you're in the right place at the right time for the right situation, you better not ever say, look what I did. You better say, sweet, it was grace. Grace got me here. Grace brought me to this spot. Sweet, because it's his sweetness. It was his goodness. You can't brag on you. You can brag on him all day long. We found out so far that grace, his favor, is when he is present. Moses said, he said, you know what? If I found grace in your sight, let your presence be with me. And God said, you found grace in my sight, and I'll go with you. Grace is the presence of God. The favor of God with us is his presence with us. We found out that more grace comes as we live our lives to please the Lord. We found out that more grace comes as we walk in Bible humility. Bible humility is not self-abasement. It's simply saying of me what God says of me. Believing his word. We found out there are no divas in the body of Christ. You don't deserve anything. You're blessed to get what God brings, and he brings you abundance, more than you could ever dream of, according to Scripture. We found out that his favor is increased in our lives as we're faithful, and that faithfulness is evidenced by and produces loyalty and gratitude. Now, I want to spend just a couple of minutes here this morning, and I want to talk to you about what grace or what favor does. Now, this is in addition to you getting born again, because obviously grace brings you the new birth. But I want to look at, well, I think I have five verses of Scripture maybe. I want you to look at some things that grace will do in your life. The favor of God, what it will do for you. This is exciting to me. I don't know about you. I want more of it. How about you? More grace. Listen to this verse of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. The Bible says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now, we've looked at that in this passage of Scripture, but we found out something about grace. Grace helps in the time of need. Grace helps. Now, if there is regular grace that helps, what would more grace do here? What would happen if you had great grace? If you got more grace, what would you have? More help. If you got great grace, you would have great help in the time of need. When you need something, if you have more grace, you're going to get more help. What would happen if you got more help? If you got more help, you'd be a better husband. I'm going to ask for a show of hands. How many of you ladies think your husband needs more help being a better husband? You know what he needs? You know what you need? More grace. I need more help being a good father. I need more help being a good pastor. I need more help. I need more help to be the man of God I'm supposed to be. I need more help. I need more help to reach the destiny that God has called me to. I need more help to make it through the day without falling into the temptation. I need more help. Anybody testify to that? I need more help. If I need more help, all I need is more grace. I need to tap into this grace that God has for me, knowing that I can't make it happen myself. You see, in these times of economic and social and political uncertainty, I don't know about you, I just need more help. And God is perfectly willing, able, and ready to bring more help to me through the channel of his grace. Instead of me pulling up my bootstraps and deciding I'm going to make it happen myself, I'm going to pull up my faith straps and say, Father, I believe you. And I'm going to hook my faith on what you've promised me from your word, and I'm going to know specifically what you said. Man, see, I need more help. Some people need more help getting out of debt. I know some Christians, they need more help just being kind. I didn't hear any amens, but you know I'm telling you the truth. They need more help. More help. Just have being an example of what God has for us. It's going to take His grace. We come before the throne of His grace. He brings more help. More grace. Man, I like that. Let me read from the Amplified Bible. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners. We're not sinners anymore, by the way. We're saints. That we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help, well-timed help, coming just when we need it. Help. God has that kind of help. I want more of that. How about you? When I get in a mess, I want more help. Lord, I just receive from you more grace. Listen to this verse of Scripture. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. It says, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the favor that's in Christ Jesus. Here's something about grace that many people don't know. Grace gives me strength. Favor gives me strength. The word strong in that verse literally means to empower. I'm empowered by grace. I'm empowered by His grace. The word here for strong comes from the Greek word dunamis. It's not that word, but it comes from that. And dunamis means miracle power. Grace is what brings the miracle power of God into my life. How many would like more of that? I want more of that. I want more grace. I want more grace that brings more miracles. Understanding, I can't get it. I can't make it happen, but I need more grace that gives me more miracles. I desire to increase in the favor of God that produces miracles in and around my life. Grace. I don't have to earn it. I just receive the grace. I found out a long time ago, when I laid my hands on the sick, I found out I couldn't heal a housefly of a headache. It takes grace. It's grace. He's the one who has to do that. It takes grace. See, sometimes we think that we can do it or whatever you're going through, you need strength to get through it. And grace is what's going to bring you the strength. When you're weak, you're made strong because of grace. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. He says, and he said to me, my grace, what? My grace is sufficient for thee. Not your talent, not your willpower. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness most gladly. Therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in the infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What did he say made him strong? Grace. Grace makes you strong. I mean believing and receiving from him, knowing this, that it doesn't matter what comes your way. It doesn't matter how big and bad and mean the devil may make himself appear to you. His strength is overshadowed every single time by the grace of God. It overwhelms him. Not you deciding that you can whip the devil. Put him up, devil. No. You better just step back and say, grace, go get him. The grace makes you strong. The grace gives you the ability to overcome every obstacle the devil can throw at you. No matter how daunting, no matter how big the opposition may be, I need more grace because grace makes me strong. The apostle said, there's a demon that's been attacking me everywhere I go. I'm asking you to get it out of the way. And God said, oh man, my grace will get it out of the way. My grace will remove that devil. He'll get out of your way because it's my grace. That makes me just want to dance. How about you? That means there is no demon that can withstand the grace. as long as I'm not under the law and under works, but I'm allowing the grace to flow. I mean, have you read the scripture that says God laughs at his enemy? It's in Psalm 5, I believe. He says he laughs at them. He puts them in derision. The grace of God in me enables me to laugh at them because I know that I, number one, I can't whoop them, but God can whoop them. And the grace flows through me. The attack comes. Oh, Father, I receive more grace today than I've ever had before. I choose to be humble. I choose, God, to live a life that pleases you. I choose, Father, to be faithful to what you said. And as I'm doing those things, God, you don't owe me anything, but I know what happens. It just flows. It just happens. And I live in the river of grace that comes. Ooh, I like that. Look at Hebrews 12:28. I like this one too. I think I only got two more maybe. Hebrews 12:28. The Bible says, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved." I like that phrase. The kingdom cannot be moved. "Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." It says grace allows me to serve God acceptably. The word acceptably here, it literally means agreeably. Quite agreeably is what it actually means. Grace enables us to serve God with the kind of excellence that He deserves. Not one of us is capable of doing the kind of job that needs to be done that could actually be good enough for Almighty God. Right? In our flesh, we have weakness, we have flaw, we have this and that. But grace, when the grace of God gets on it, it makes it excellent so that it can be what God can receive. I mean, what grace does. Oh, grace, when I give God my very best, that's full of holes and full of flaws, the grace comes on it, fills every hole, heals every flaw, so that the sacrifice I give, I'm not giving him a lame one on purpose, I'm giving him the best I have, but I give him that, and now that becomes good enough and great for God. The fact is, God is calling us all to a place. He's calling us upward. He's calling us onward. He's calling us bigger. He's calling us better. But the only way we're going to get there is if His grace gets on it. And then He, isn't it something? It's just like I was talking about a minute ago. It's like when I gave my kids the money to buy my Christmas present. God gives me the grace so my gift is pleasing in His sight. And I remember my kids would buy that present and whatever it was, they'd bring it to me, and I loved it because my kids got it for me. And even though I paid for it, they shopped for it. And they had to think about me for 5 minutes at least to pick it out for me. God takes our gift that He paid for, that He makes good enough. And He... Tammy collects this... This porcelain that she's collected for many years, and one of these days, hopefully, it'll be worth a lot of money. We'll find out, I guess. And she has a cabinet that we put this porcelain in. Our grandson, he made a boot in children's church. Was it children's church he made it? Made a boot. I mean, it's just, because we live in Texas, and he loves his grandparents, and he made a boot. He lives in Florida. He made us a boot. Just a ceramic, I guess, boot. Painted it, and it's nice. He did a good job on it. We got that thing home. I mean, we got to the airport, and Tammy told that guy at security, she said, "If you break that boot, it's worth $1 million. He said, "What is it?" And she said, "It's a boot my grandson made. You better not break it." We got it home. We took that boot. We put it in the case with all the porcelains that we have because he made it, because it was his gift to us. It's more precious to us than all of the porcelains are. That's what grace does for your gift to God. It makes it more valuable than anything else. And He loves it. He enjoys it. The grace that comes makes our gift what it's supposed to be. With my willingness to serve Him and His grace coming on my life, I will step up to a new level. I will step up with more excellence. I will do more for God than I've ever thought I could do before. Grace does that. Okay, one more verse. Titus chapter 2, or two more verses, one more passage. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. I like this one. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Grace, the Bible says, has appeared to all men. It says that grace teaches us, teaches me, to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Grace, it says it's in this present world, it teaches me how to live a life that pleases God. Grace, the only way to ever overcome a bad habit, an addiction, the only way to ever overcome it is grace. That's why when they go to the 12-step program, the first thing they have to acknowledge is a higher power. We know who the higher power is, and only one is able to deliver you. He, acknowledging that God is God, and it is His power, only His power, that can deliver me and set me free. It's His power. And I understand that His grace teaches me to say no. His grace teaches me to deny ungodliness. In fact, His grace is what gives me the ability to live a life that pleases Him. Now, here's the cool thing. His grace gives me the ability that lets me live a life that pleases Him, but we've already found out that if I live a life that pleases Him, more grace comes. It's an awesome cycle. I let the grace teach me to say no. I live and please Him. More grace comes so I can say no, so I can please Him, so more grace will come. It just goes on and on and on and on because of His grace in my life. He's the one. You see, He's the answer to all of those things. It's grace. It's grace in my life that I can't earn, that I can't even buy. The Message Bible reads that this way. It says, we're being shown how to turn our backs on a godless, indulgent life and how to take on a God-filled, God-honoring life. This new life is starting right now. Do you need more of that? Are there things in your life that you need to say no to? He says, that's starting right now. You know what? That's a word that's prophetic. It's starting right now. Right now. What do you need to say no to? It's starting right now. Grace is being released at this very moment. I take it. I take the grace to say no. I take the grace to say no. I take it today. I take the grace tomorrow. I take the grace to say no. I will take the grace to say no to the evil confession. I say no to it. I take the grace to say no to that thing that the world has been saying over me, that I have this or I have that or this is in my family. I take the grace and I say no to you in Jesus' name. Right now. Right now. It's starting right now. The grace is coming to us. I don't know about you, but I need more of that grace. I need more of that kind of grace. See, in my life, I know that Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. That doesn't mean that Jesus is going to come out of heaven in a bodily form and take me by the hand so I can reach my destiny. But it does mean that He comes to me in His grace and He takes me where I'm supposed to go. This is the day to turn the tide on all that stuff by His grace. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, this morning I thank You for the grace to say no. I thank You for the grace that brings supernatural strength. I thank You for the grace that brings help. I thank You, God, there's no way that we're going to reach destiny unless we have Your grace that takes us there. Lord, we know that grace isn't an accidental storm that comes upon our life, But the grace comes, according to your word, grace will always come when we believe you. Lord, I believe today. I believe today for the manifestation of these verses of Scripture to come into the lives of the hearers of this message. Grace to you. Grace be to you now in Jesus' name. God loves you. He's already provided the forgiveness. He's already provided the grace, the gift that takes you to the place of your destiny. It's already there. Now this morning we reach out and take more grace. Grace for the assignment. Grace for the healing, the deliverance, the freedom. Great, we take it. Come on, just take it in right now in Jesus' name. Take in the grace. The grace for the next step. The grace that overcomes the fear. The grace. The grace that has the strength no matter what you're facing. Grace in Jesus' name. Grace. Oh, Father, we thank you. We give you praise for grace. We give you praise for grace. Hallelujah. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.